You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to today's Nature Connections show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio, and my name is Sarah Turner. I'm delighted to welcome my guest today, Susan M. Parker. And Susan is the founder of Solomon Herb and the author of The Power of Seed. Susan's often called an alchemist for her ability to take raw materials from the natural world and create new forms. She transforms raw plant materials, clays and plant essences into combinations to support and protect the skin. So welcome to Nature Connection, Susan.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's very exciting for you to be here because I've followed your journey over the last, 10 years or so and seen
how you've known each other for a long time.
We have, and seen your beautiful website take form and all the things that you've been doing for many years actually start to be much more visible in the public. And then last year you published your book, which we're going to hear about. And you're here today to really share your wisdom about skincare and the beautiful plant materials that you know so much about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess I started all of this about 20 years ago when my daughter was 12, something like that, and she was wanting to go to the body shop and buy all kinds of little lotions and potions, and so I started reading the ingredients on the back, and it was very much like, oh, this isn't what we want to put on our skin. So I had taken an herbal apprenticeship with Pam Montgomery a year or two prior. And so I had this idea, I think we should make our own. So I started. Olivia joined me for a little while, but as a 12-year-old, she had a lot of other things to do and grow up. And so what's been really fun is now, 20 years later, she's come back in and has actually started a men's line, skincare men's line with a friend, and does all of my, or an awful lot of my technical websites and teaches me how to do it, and then I can jump in and maintain and do things. But it's been a beautiful circle that's come around.
And where did your love before Olivia come from? Because you say you started with Pam Montgomery, and I know Pam myself. Amazing lady.
Right.
Yeah.
We were living in New York. Both my kids were born in New York. I've always been interested in health from early on, before I had the children. And then I had an ectopic pregnancy, and then I had to change my diet radically before I even, had them. So health has always been really important to me. And so it's a lot based on food, which eventually leads later to the oils, which is the subject of my book, but herbs and plants and flower essences and essential oils. And oh my goodness, there's just so much in the nature world that we can use. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and as many of the listeners to Nature Connections know about flower essences, I think it's really worth everybody knowing that your products contain flower essences that you make yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is exciting.
Still doing. It's a little hard to make them up here with not so much sun. But it was easier when I was in California. But being in the Pacific Northwest now, it's a little like England, and it can be quite gray. But
yes, we can count on the fingers of one hand the sunny days of the year.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So your passion is the oils, I think, isn't it? I mean, we'll tell everybody how to find your site towards the end. In fact, people can go and look at Solomon Herb and see all the lovely things you do. What comes through your book certainly is your love of the oils.
Having made skincare and soap and herbal infused oils and stuff for years, about, I guess it was about a dozen years ago, 12, 13 years ago, I needed to gather all the information I had on the fixed oils. There were books on the essential oils, and I didn't feel the need to write that down, but I was always gathering information on the seed oils, and I'll explain that in a minute. And so I gathered binders and binders, and I eventually did a little self-published booklet on the fixed oils that I sold in the community that I was living in at the time, down in California. And then it just kind of, life went on, and we moved up to the Northwest. And when I was asked to come back and teach in California about 3-4 years ago, my friend who was bringing me back asked if I could bring that booklet. And of course, this was, you know, 10 years on and out of print and out of date. And I knew so much more, so I started writing again. And it first came out as an online ebook, but then I found I got picked up by a publisher. So now it's actually in hand. I have a real book. I have my reference book. See, that the whole point was to write this reference book so I could have a place to go to.
Yes.
To go, do I want that one or this one? You know, which is going to be better for what I'm trying to achieve in the lab to make a product. So.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about oils here. I know from my own background in essential oils and aromatherapy that sometimes people aren't very aware, and certainly I wasn't, until I found out more of the difference between oils and essential oils. They're not the same thing, are they?
No, chemically they're completely different. The essential oils are volatile compounds. They do float on water after they've been distilled out of the plant. So they appear to be like oils, but they're not oils in the sense, in the chemical sense of lipids. And the lipids are the fatty acids that we eat in the term, you know, in olive oil and coconut oil and butter and beef, you know, animal fats and that sort of thing. Those are all the lipids. Waxes are lipids. Lecithin is a lipid. And these are all products from plants and animals. And they're not volatile. The oils, you put a bit of oil. It's kind of a fun thing to do. You put a few drops of essential oils on one side of a piece of paper and some olive oil, let's say, on the other side of the piece of paper, and come back the next day, and you'll only see the stain of the olive oil. You will really see that the volatility of the essential oils has dispersed. And what is interesting is that the essential oils come from all parts of the plant. They come from flowers, and they come from stems and seeds, actually, sometimes, and bark and rhizomes, like in the case of ginger, roots in the case of vetiver. Lavender is used, kind of the flowering tops and much of the leaves, rosemary, that sort of thing. They come from all parts of the plants in their little aromatic oil sacs that the plant produces. Now, we jump to the other oils, which are the fixed oils, and these are the ones we eat. It's olive and almond, sesame, coconut, palm, and then in doing the research for the book, it was really great fun because I found lots of new oils that are being pressed for their lipid properties. Raspberry seed oils. These little teeny tiny raspberry seeds are literally being pressed for their fatty acids and all the compounds that come with them. And the beauty of them is the range of colors that they come in. They're green and yellow and gold and bright red and deep orange and that sort of thing. And all those are nutritional properties that are good for our to eat, and they're good for our skin. And it's just a fabulous subject. The essential oils have gotten a lot of publicity lately, and I've noticed when talking to people that aren't well versed in aromatherapy or skincare, they often confuse the essential oil. If you say oil, they'll think essential oil. Mm-hmm. And they forget about the olive sitting in their kitchen. And then they don't make the connections until you kind of point them out.
Yeah. I think as well we've come so far away in terms of what we apply to our bodies. And so, mm-hmm. you know, a bottle we pick up on the shelf in the supermarket, we don't tend to make these things. So I know. Yeah, I know. It's like, wow, we don't know, do we? It's just like, I guess it's very similar to the food we eat. It's the same as what we put on our skin. We just accept.
Yeah, I think people are more conscious.
They are.
I think they're more conscious of food than skincare.
Yeah.
I mean, skincare is going to come along for sure. And it definitely, you know, there's any number of people making natural skincare. But there's a lot of degrees of natural, too. You know, I try to use as little laboratory-made chemicals. I mean, I don't really use any real chemicals. They're just other forms of materials.
Well, let's talk about the oils. Because I think, as you say, people are aware of them a little bit, and I'm kind of talking myself here nutritionally. We're a lot less aware of how we use them on the skin. And people might think, oh, well, I wouldn't use an oil on my skin because it'd be very oily, greasy, you know, all that kind of thing. So I know you know differently because it's, your wisdom is actually all about matching the right oil. And in your book, how many different oils do you mention?
I think there's 90.
Yeah.
And then after I published, there's more came out. It's like, no.
It's
but anyway,
two.
We stopped at about 90.
Yeah, so matching that right oil to the person and to the skin type. And so tell us a little bit about all of that.
Well, there's, okay, let's start with the solid oils, because those are still oils, coconut oil, cocoa butter, mango butter, palm oils, and then there's a whole bunch out of Africa, muhuru and stuff. Some I haven't even tried yet. But the tropics tend to produce solid oils, which are saturated. And by being saturated, it means that the carbon chain that makes up the fatty acids that make up the oil is completely saturated with hydrogen atoms. And so there's no... these oils are long-lived. They don't go rancid very easily because the carbon's all taken up with the hydrogen. There isn't places for the oxygen to attach, and that's what causes rancidity. And so in the tropics, we have these solid oils, and usually oils from the tropics also have quite a lot of compounds in them that help prevent the skin help protect the skin against UV damage. And we really need the process of sunlight on skin that isn't all covered up with clothes or sunscreen, because it's the skin that makes the vitamin D. That's an important part of the immune system. And there's also something new I've read about. I mean, it's not new to our bodies, but cholesterol sulfate is something else that's made in the skin by the process of sunlight on the fats in the skin, and that has to do with regulating our heart and our whole circulatory system. Mm. So, I mean, and think of what we haven't even discovered yet happening in the skin in the presence of oil. And this, the outer layer of skin is mostly lipids, which are oils, fats, and that sort of thing, and held together with skin cells. I mean, it really is just, we have quite a lot of oils in our skin, and it makes its own oils. So that's the beginning. I mean, that's the more in equatorial regions of the earth. And as we move further north, oils become less saturated. They're liquid. And you get much, you know, way farther north, and they're polyunsaturated. And so every time the saturation is diminished, there's more and more opportunity for the fatty acids to bind with oxygen, which is to go rancid. That's why flax goes rancid. That's why flax oil is the source of linseed oil. And they make paint, you know, in the Renaissance, they painted with linseed oil, and make linoleum is linseed oil, which is all oil that has been attached with oxygen and goes, it's literally going rancid, which is fine if you're walking on it, but not if you're eating it, you know. I mean, it's just so interesting, all the things I was finding out as I did the research in the book. But the unsaturated oils are important for health too. Those are the essential fatty acids, and we need those too. And they need to be protected by being kept in the refrigerator or used up quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's a big subject, isn't it?
I know. And then it's got all these little offshoots, and you can go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about using oils on the skin. And how we can do that easily. Everybody listening can go and source oils, I would think, to use in their skincare. So tell us a little bit, how would we know what to buy? And talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay, any good quality oil, preferably unrefined, because then it brings its own natural properties with it. Like if you're going to be out in the sun, shea butter or mango butter, olive oil, or sesame oil, those are really good protective oils. And for massage oils, the saturated oils are good. The monounsaturated, oh, it gets a little complicated because we have the monounsaturated oils and the saturated oils are good for massage because they don't absorb too quickly. As the oils become more unsaturated, they absorb more quickly into the surface layers of the skin. And so whereas they're not that good for massage, they disappear too quickly. They are good for facial oils and body conditioning oils. Mm-hmm. There's any number of those. I mean, evening primrose is a polyunsaturated, flax is not really an oil that I use on the skin much. It is so fragile, it kind of goes off pretty quickly. There's raspberry, there's rosehip seed is a wonderful oil for minimizing scarring. It can really help heal up old scars and recent scars. Gotten injured or had a surgery or something. It's good to put on them on the skin there. What else is there? And then there are other oils. There's jojoba oil. That's an interesting oil because it really isn't oil. It's technically a wax. It's a liquid wax, and that has many similar properties to our natural, the oils that our skin produces in the sebum. Argan is a new kind of favorite of the beauty industry.
Yes.
It's all over. That's from Morocco. And that has some wonderful properties, high in vitamin E. So these oils, they carry vitamins and minerals and other plant compounds, antioxidants that help protect the skin cells from damage from the environment, from the sun, from pollution, and that sort of thing. So, I mean, they're really wonderful. If you use them right away after washing, then they'll pretty much absorb into the skin, and you don't have to worry about being oily and greasy. If you start, you know, halfway through the day, you put oil in your skin, it's going to sit on top of what your skin's already produced. So,
okay, just use that's the key, first. Is it to do it
first off.
Just after your bath or shower, or you've washed your face, mm-hmm.
And it absorbs right away, and your skin is protected and happy and nourished. And
you mentioning as well that the oils contain the vitamins and antioxidants, so we're kind of feeding our cellular system at the same time, aren't we?
Yeah, certainly feeding the outer layers of skin. I mean, it's great controversy, and I'm no biochemist or anything else, how much is absorbed deeply into the skin. But just the fact that we know that they use patches and stuff to deliver medicine, something is being absorbed, and what you want being absorbed through your skin is wholesome ingredients, not synthetic compounds that the body then has to overcome.
And I think it's just something to remind ourselves, and I think many listeners of the show will already know this, but even myself, I need to remind myself constantly that the skin is the largest organ, and that it's so important to not just take care of it in a beauty sense, but also just take care of it. Give it what it needs to live.
Yeah. And then it will, it can do its job best with natural compounds, both what you eat and what you put on it. Sure.
And I was very drawn to the title of your book, which is The Power of Seed. And thinking, probably with my more energetic self, but just of the word seed. And because you and I, you're working with the more material realm and the more physical realm, which I also love. But just of that word seed, and knowing that when we do good to the physical, we're doing good to absolutely every part of us. Mm-hmm. So, and thinking about how when we make oils from the seeds, which is what you were sharing with us, then the seed in itself is life, isn't it? It's where life comes from.
Yeah, it's the regenerative part of the plant. And conceivably we could press oils from all kinds of seeds. I mean, dandelion seed oil, what would that be? I don't know. I mean, it's not a crop. In the case that I found so interesting with raspberry seed oil, it's a byproduct of the fruit and juice industry. And so once all the juice is removed, they had all this leftover that somebody got the brilliant idea to take the lipids from the actual seed. And that's really an interesting place where high-scale production of modern foods can give us new materials to work with for skin care and nutrition, really. That it kind of dawned on me through the process of researching the book, writing it first 12 years ago, and then this second round of it. And it came, the idea that it comes from the seeds, no matter if those are beans or nuts or legume, that's beans, Even plants like olive oil and palm oil and sea buckthorn that have two parts to the seed. They have the fleshy part on the outside, and that produces an oil, as does the inner pit produces a separate, different oil. And the avocado, same idea. The outer flesh is pressed for its oil, as is the inner pit. But they really are all seeds. I call those the fruiting bodies, a source of oil. And it's kind of endless how much is possible. And some of these oils are ancient. I was researching watermelon seed oil. Well, I guess the first depiction of watermelon seed oil was in Egyptian hieroglyphics, which I hadn't known. Mm. So they've been pressing melons in the seeds from the melons in the Kalahari Desert for a long time.
Yeah, and that's what we'll talk a little bit about your book in just a second, but I was looking through the book and looking at all the different oils. I think you mentioned there's 90 or so in the book,
something,
descriptions of them. And I saw descriptions of oils that I didn't even know were oils, like coffee, and cucumber and tomato, and now you're talking about watermelon seed. Yeah, anything's possible, and of course everything has a property.
And they're all a little different. And I've, you know, I did the research and put the basics in. I mean, I really recommend that people experience these things. And if you want to develop a passion for oils, you can go online and purchase like 2 and 4 ounce little bottles. Some of them are quite expensive, but you know, if you get them quite small, they're not too bad. And just experience them. Take them into the shower with you and rub them on your arms and compare them. They're all phenomenally different. Mm. And, you know, some you'll put on and you'll get kind of a white, white sheen on the skin. And that's the presence of, phospholipids, which lecithin is one. And what's nice about that is the that absorbs very quickly into the skin and it's very compatible with the skin.
So. Well, you're obviously a complete wealth of knowledge on this. I find it extraordinarily interesting. So would you share with us how people can find out more? Because your website is beautiful and you create ready-made products, don't you? People,
yes.
And custom-made products. So tell us how people can find out about you and what you do.
Well, the website is Solomon and Herb with my English accent on, which I don't have. the name of it comes from Solomon is the word for clay and soil and earth in the sense of soil, and then herb, of course. And so these two, often use clays in formulas. And it's Solum, S-O-L-U-M, and spell out the and, A-N-D, herb, H-E-R-B-E, with an E at the end, .com. And that will bring it up. And you can just Google Solomon Herb. It usually comes up. So the book is available Well, it's available online on the website in the oil section, but it's also available on Amazon in both paperback or in Kindle version. Mm-hmm. And the only thing if you buy it from me, because I charge more than Amazon does, I include a sample of oil of your choice from the list on the oil bar if you're interested.
That's a lovely incentive to everybody could buy it from your website, yes.
Yeah.
And you also run a class to teach people, don't you?
Yes, I've started some online classes. I have two, actually. One is a free class, and that talks about the differences between the fixed oils and the seed oils, and goes into that, because after the book came out, when I would speak of oils to people, they often thought I meant the essential oils, which are quite different compounds. So I did this. I put this free class together. I also have a class on making botanical extracts, and that includes a very wide range of materials that you can extract plants into, flowers, leaves, aromatics, and roots, and all that sort of thing, into oil or water-based compounds. And that can be reached if you go to the main SolomonHerb.com website. There's a tab at the top for classes, and it'll take you to the site where the classes are.
Fascinating. Well, thank you, Susan. Having known you for a while, I knew you knew this, but it's just been fascinating to spend a whole half an hour with you and for you just to share so intensively with us everything. Well, everything you know, because you could talk forever about that, but you know, just to share with us the depth of what you know is, it's very, very interesting. And I hope all the listeners take away a new sense of exploration when we next put something on our skins.
Yeah, definitely experience. That's the most important part.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome back to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio. I'm Sarah Turner. I'm a flower essence practitioner and a flower essence trainer. In fact, our diploma is enrolling right now if you're interested in learning more about flower essences and taking it out there into the world as a professional. In this part of the show, I aim to share with you the things that give joy to my heart. And this week, I'm going to share with you some flowers that I feel are really, really relevant for right now. And it's middle of the February as I record this. And also, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the color white and what that means in the nature kingdom. And I'm going to be sharing with you some flowers that share the white signature, because wherever you live, I'm sure there are white flowers growing either in nature or you see them in shops that you can buy. And wouldn't it be great if you could know a little bit about what that flower was sharing with you just through her color? So I hope you stay tuned for the next 25 minutes or so, and we will explore together some of the beautiful things of nature. So as I said, as I record this, it's middle February 2015, and for me, 2015 feels really, really different from 2014. Some people I know are feeling the energies of 2015 to be really smooth. I guess it always depends on how your 2014 was. From where I am, and we're in the middle of selling our house and moving, big changes happening in my life right now, it feels very, very different. And I don't really have too many words to describe how that is. I'm quite excited, but there's also a lot of fear coming up. And I'm not just talking personally, I'm talking many people I know right now, and clients and the students that take part in the diploma. So much is changing that when we really feel into the core of ourselves, it's not the same anymore. And this can bring up some fear. So the first part of the show, I'd like to share with you some essences that we can use for that. Before I actually talk about that, I'd just like to talk a little bit about winter time. Now, here in the southeast of England, we're starting to see spring now in bulk, which is at the beginning of February. In fact, almost just after Christmas here, we started to see the shoots coming above the ground. There's slight changes out there. The trees are looking thicker and fuller. Snowdrops are out. I had the pleasure of going to the Physic Garden in London, in Chelsea, a couple of weeks ago for the snowdrop day. And it was just so beautiful seeing all the snowdrops and all the different varieties of snowdrops. And here where I live, actually the daffodils are almost starting to bloom as well, in very, very early stages. But most of all, it's quiet out there. There's not a lot happening. It's fairly grey. Apart from the evergreen trees, we can't see very much. Nature is still very much asleep because it's cold. And I know for many of you right now, you may still be under snow. And so white is going to be very significant for you. So it's a bit of a theme in our diploma right now, talking about energies and what's actually happening and how it feels in the body. And one of the things that I was picking up, not just for them, but also for me, there is at this time of year a kind of impatience. We see the new arriving, but it's not here yet. So we're in this kind of waiting space where it's not actually warm enough yet right now for change to be felt. It's not warm enough for nature right now to unfurl her buds, generally speaking. So there's a kind of impatience happening, and we need to really just allow ourselves to rest for a few more weeks. So of course, one of the first essences that comes up for me to share with you today is the Impatiens Batch essence. So available worldwide, really easy to get hold of, often maybe even in one of your health food shops. The Impatiens is just for that, when you feel this need to move forward, but you know that there's also a need to sit back and relax and not to respond too much to events going on outside you. So whether you're an empathic person or not, I feel that if you're feeling that, it might be a very lovely essence for you to take. So on to just some very quick, some essences for fear. Always useful to know whether we're feeling fear due to maybe we've got to go to the doctors or the dentist, or we're doing something that is fearful to us, like giving a talk, or whether there's maybe something deeper running through your life which is causing you fear. These essences are very useful. They are batch essences, so again, really, really easy to get hold of. So the first one that came to mind was, if you know what you're frightened of, just, and as an example, the examples I gave before, let's say you're frightened of going to the dentist. Totally understandable, me too, not my favourite place, or to the doctors, or you taking your driving test, or we all have something, don't we, that frightens us, and to another person it might not be scary, to you it is. So if you know what that is, the great batch essence for that is mimulus. So taking mimulus just before or in the lead up to this thing that makes you feel fearful is wonderful. It's not necessarily going to take the fear away, but it gives you courage. And that's what we need, isn't it? To step forward towards that thing that makes us feel fearful. The other essence which is very useful is aspen. As I said, also a batch essence. Now this is different to the mimulus in that it's if you don't know what you're frightened of. You know, it's that sense of kind of foreboding that we have that something's going to happen, but we really don't know what it is. Aspen trees have this ability to, well, it's not an ability, they tremble, just their very being trembles. Even on a still day, you will see tremblings in an aspen grove. So it's that same inner shakiness that we might feel when something is causing us to ourselves to tremble. So if that makes more sense to you, have a look at the aspen essence. And finally, there's one more essence which is really, really useful, which is rock rose. Now this is different again to the two before. This is not for fear anymore. It's actually for terror, absolute panic and terror. So if there is something that causes you so much fear that you actually choose to not look and to walk in the opposite direction, this is an essence that could be really, really useful. We're going into the sort of depths here, into the more serious levels of how we feel. So there's something that you know, and I suspect you do, if you actually sit still and think about this, there's something for us all that causes us so much fear that we choose not to look. Now, if it feels like time right now in your life to look at that, then rock rose can be really, really useful for you. And if you're having to engage with something that feels almost as if you won't survive, it's that fearful rock rose can be really helpful. So I hope that's helped you just get into your consciousness some essences that will be useful for you to handle fear and to embrace fear and to embrace courage in the face of fear. And that if you need them now, you're going to know how to go and get them. If you don't need them now, you're going to just have them in the back of your mind and you will know what to go and find next time you need that kind of thing, next time you need to bring the courage out in yourself. So let's talk a little bit now about colour and the colour white specifically. So I was tuning in a little bit to the colour white as I was preparing to record this for you. Actually, from my window right now, I can see seagulls, who are, of course, white. And we don't have snow here in the UK. We haven't done, certainly in the south of England. But white, thinking of everyday objects or things that we often see that have this colour. So snow is one of them. And snow contains this energy of purity, of crispness, of new beginnings, Snow has this ability to dissolve away what is old, and really allow new energy to arrive. It's also, white is also the color of milk. So, and if we think of milk in terms of it's what we receive from our mothers when we are born, so there's this real idea of mother energy also in the color white. It's the color of clouds. If you think of the color, the summer clouds, the white wispy clouds that float across the sky, especially the blue sky. So it's the color of the heavens. It's the color of looking upwards and allowing ourselves to be transported into the air energies. For most of us, it's a color of new beginnings. And this is where we start to link a little bit with the nature kingdom and what white flowers carry, the energy that they carry, generally speaking, in nature. If we think of color therapy, white is a color that carries within it the vibrations of all other colors. So it's often the color that people use right at the beginning of working with color, because it's a gentle way of clearing and cleaning the body and infusing the body with all the colors in the color spectrum, so that the body can actually take exactly what it needs. So I hope you're already feeling a little bit into the healing properties of white. And so the next time that you see white flowers, whether they are actually in nature, for example, the snowdrops, or whether you see them in the shops, you're going to start to realize if they catch your eye, there's a reason that your eye is seeing that color and that flower, and there will be a message in there for you somewhere. In coming back to the symbolism, a little bit of color, in the Western world, white is the color that we wear at weddings, and it symbolizes purity and innocence. Very, very interestingly, in Asian countries, some Asian countries and in China, white is the color that's worn at funerals and represents mourning. So isn't that interesting how the same color is actually coming and in different polarities of life? So let's talk now a little bit about the flower signatures and come on to the flowers very, very specifically. Now, flowers can talk to us in all different ways, and colours is just one of the ways that they do that. Other ways that they do it are through their number of petals. So actually counting the number of petals will tell you a lot if you know numerology. It gives you a hint as to what its message might be. The shape of the petal is very, very important too, depending on whether it's a flower like a fuchsia that hangs downwards, or whether it's a flower like a lily that, generally speaking, holds its cup upwards. How close the flower is to the ground will also be very, very useful to know. Some flowers are very tiny and very ground-loving. They may not grow upwards. They might actually grow along the ground. So that tells us a lot about the flower's healing properties. And some flowers grow very high on the tops of trees or climb upwards. Just the fact that they are climbing plants tells us a lot as well. So what I'm trying to say here is there's a lot to take into consideration. And this is the kind of thing that we look at actually on the Flower Essence Diploma and really start to learn the language of the heart and of the nature kingdom. But what we're doing here is actually tuning into the color. And just knowing the color is going to give you a big, big start as to what the flower's message is. And there's a few flowers that have come along today and would like to join in the show. One of them already has in as Snowdrop. As I mentioned, that I had visited the Chelsea Physic Garden at the beginning of February for their Snowdrop weekend. And Snowdrop has a very special place in my heart. It was one of my mother's absolute favourite flowers. And so that the love has carried on into my life. And in fact, today, February the 12th, is the anniversary of my mother passing over. So there's also a little bit of significance in my mentioning Snowdrop there for us. So for me, Snowdrop is all about new beginnings. It's all about life always returning. There is a part of us that we say goodbye to, but life always continues in some form or another. So Snowdrop is one of the first flowers that we see in early spring. It literally comes out of the earth. Despite very harsh circumstances, snowdrops literally come through the earth during snow. They show their ability to flower and to thrive, even in harsh climates. So they're just by their one of the first flowers to bloom, they show us that life is returning. And it's very, very interesting. Snowdrop was one of the first moonflower essences that I ever made. And I actually made it with my partner, Ian. It was the first flower essence we made together. And it was a very spontaneous flower essence. Where we live in southeast Kent, there is a lot of Roman land from the time when the Vikings actually arrived in this part of the world. And there's a lot of defences, shall we say, put in place from the Romans who were here at the time when the Vikings landed. And so there's a lot of history and a lot of burial grounds as well. And we were driving around this time of year and we spotted some farmland, and we knew the farmers. And we saw this most beautiful field of snowdrops, just completely covered in snowdrops in little pockets. And so we asked, it was a sunny day, so we asked permission to place a bowl of water within the snowdrop field. And this is the snowdrop essence that you can actually purchase via Moonflower Essences right now. And we didn't cut the flowers, we literally just placed the bowl in this field and allowed the blooms of the snowdrops to fall over the edge of the bowl, and we left it there for several hours. Now, what was interesting when we returned to collect the water is that we really began to tune in to the energy of snowdrop, and we noticed that the snowdrops were actually growing on burial grounds. Not in the sense that it was a graveyard, but you can see the mounds, very ancient mounds that had been used. And although the snowdrops themselves weren't on those mounds, they were very apparent in the land surrounding it. So again, it showed us its link back to the ancestors. It was a very joyful experience collecting the snowdrop essence. We laughed a lot. There was just a real sense of newness and light energy all around us at this time. And we were invited by the people who owned the land to actually take some of the snowdrops home with us and put them in our garden. And we ended up not doing that, mainly because it was actually really hard to dig them up, and we really didn't want to destroy the beauty of what we saw going on around us. And we saw at that time how deep-rooted these snowdrops were, and they really went very, very deeply into the ground. So again, that showed us this link again towards our roots as to what's come before us. So that was when the Moonflower Snowdrop Essence was born. And years later, quite a few years later, it's one of my favourite essences, and it's one that's bought quite often through my online shop. How I love to use it actually is to put a pipette full of the snowdrop essence into a mister bottle and just to use it as a lovely space clearer, particularly at this time of year when the house has been shut up for quite a long time and we want this new, very snowdrop essence in the house. And over the years that I've personally been using snowdrop, she's talked to me quite a lot. And one of the most significant things that she did actually gift me with was the knowing that with Snowdrop we can rewrite the future. Now, you have to think quite hard about what that means and the significance of it. So, and I always think back to the roots of the snowdrop, and that when we really look at our past, at the roots of who we are, and we really, really take on board all the messages that come through the roots of who we are, we can have the ability to rewrite the future, to change what might have been with this new knowledge that we have. So for me, that feels hugely, hugely significant. And one of the amazing gifts of flower essences is that when we do actually tap into this new parts of ourselves, then we can actually really change what might have been in our lives, because we start to really step into our power and do things differently, make different decisions of all aspects of our lives. And we begin to choose joy over suffering. We begin to do what we love rather than what we think we need to do. And we begin to really look outside the boundaries of what's possible. And life just becomes very, very different at those times. So there's a message from Snowdrop, direct from the Nature Kingdom, from Snowdrop today, as to how she can help you. And it doesn't matter whether or not you have the flower essence. Just listen to the words, because she speaks directly to your heart. And so whether or not you have the flower essence is really not important here. If you have the flower essence, then it's a continual reminder. But actually, this is a transmission from the heart of Snowdrop to your heart. So just allow yourself to absorb that for a second. And I'm going to also share with you another lovely, lovely white flower. Quite a famous one as well. And you may well have already used this flower before in the rescue remedies that come through the batch system. And the flower that I'm going to talk to you about for the last few moments of today's show is the Star of Bethlehem. And now, I also adore this flower, and I'm lucky enough to live near a park where Star of Bethlehem grow. And so I've met this beautiful flower, and each springtime I actually saw her shoots starting to come up just the other day. And it's going to be a month, 6 weeks before we start to see her properly yet. But it's always very joyful when I see this such an important flower coming out again through the ground. Now, Star of Bethlehem is white. She has 6 petals. And how you can recognize her is actually if you look, it's a very tiny flower. It's usually quite close to the ground. And they're actually like stars in the grass. So you may just see one, but very often you will see lots of them together, and they look like stars in the grass. And how you'll know that it's Star of Bethlehem is if you just very gently look on the back side of the petal, you'll see there's a green stripe. And when the flower is closed, what you actually see is the white bud, if you like, with green stripes. So that's going to give you a big clue as to whether the flower is Star of Bethlehem. Now, Star of Bethlehem is such an important essence because she is the flower to help you come back into your body after shock or trauma. And that's why she's in the rescue remedy. So taken alone, she's perfect to take if you've suffered a shock in any way. Now, this could be something like having a tooth out at the dentist, or it could be something much, much bigger than that, much, much more life-changing. So you can use her for any kind of shock. It might be something that you've experienced today. It could be something that you experienced 20 years ago, and you know that your life hasn't quite been the same since that happened. And part of that reason is that the shock may have stayed in your system. Now, when shock sits in the energy system, what it can do is really destabilize the system. And it can almost, you know the expression, I jumped out of my skin. So if you see yourself as an energy body or bodies rather than flesh and blood, of course we are both, then when we experience a shock, what we often do is that the energy body shifts slightly and we literally jump out of our skins. Now, that's perfect at the time because it actually protects us from what's going on around us. But if you stay out of body, so to speak, for months and years afterwards, then that's not a useful thing for you to actually experience. Your body has done it to protect you so that you don't feel the deep, deep shock, so that you can cope in the moment. But to actually allow yourself to come back into your body is what will actually fuel your body with life. So if that makes sense to you on some level, then it might be that Star of Bethlehem would be really, really useful for you to try. It is a batch flower essence. It is in the Rescue Remedy. Now, you could just take the Rescue Remedy, and of course you could. It's your decision, or of course you can consult a professional around this. My experience and the experience of the students that go through the diploma that I facilitate is that it's a different experience taking a combination of flowers and one on its own. So I actually think it's a great idea to take a flower on its own, because it gives you the full picture of how she can help you. So you should be able to find this flower in most health food shops. Because it's a flower that I love and that grows very close to me, it's also in the Moonflower Essence range. The Moonflower Essences are... this particular one was made in sunlight, as most flower essences are. But then Moonflower Essences also have moonlight water added to them. So you have this lovely combination of the sun and the moonlight. So whenever you see a white flower, you're going to get this signature of being able to help you start anew, of being able to wipe the slate clean of the old and help you step towards a new life. So I hope sharing with you some of the information about white today has really helped you feel that. So I invite you over the next few days to have a look around and start looking for some white flowers. Whether you see them in the supermarket, in the florists, or actually in nature. And look as well, what white clothes do you have? Look around your house. What is your relationship with white? And really start looking at that. If you are interested in exploring colour a little further, and you also are a complementary health therapist or somebody who would love to work in the complementary health field and feel a calling to work with the Nature Kingdom, our diploma in flower and vibrational medicine is enrolling again right now. So please come along to my website, essentiallyflowers.com, look in the courses menu, and you will find out all about the diploma that I run. It's a very, very profound diploma and totally life-changing for you. We have some early bird prices happening right now until the end of February. So if you've been pondering this, it's a great, great time to come on board right now. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to the Nature Connection show this week. I wish you a amazing Valentine's Day. She's coming up very, very soon, in a couple of days' time, February the 14th. And whether you celebrate this actively or not, I always think as Valentine's Day of a day when love radiates that much stronger through the planet. So whether you're celebrating it with the one you love or alone, just feel the love on Valentine's Day. Connect in maybe with the colour pink, deep, deep pink colours, and just do something for you that's beautiful and that shows you love. Okay, until next time, many blessings to you from myself and the Nature Kingdom. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature.